Hey, welcome to the Victory Family Church podcast. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank God forever, man. What a privilege it is to build God's kingdom together. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I want to welcome those on our online audience. Newcastle, we love you. Would you welcome Newcastle and our online audience? We love you guys so much. Thank you so much for being kingdom builders. It makes an amazing difference in the world. You know, 2020, it was a time when basically the world went into hiding. And what thrills my heart, and I mean this with complete sincerity, pastoring this church is the honor of mine and Michelle's life. To see what you did in 2020 when everybody was forced into hiding, you broke out in a way that was unparalleled in our history. You gave more, you did more than we have ever done. There's not even a close second in the history of this church. It isn't just the amount of money that you gave, which is still remarkable in a year of this pandemic. But you served and you gave and you served. Tens of thousands of man hours feeding people. Tons and tons of food that you gave away. It's an incredible privilege to be a kingdom builder. Now, as we enter into 2021, I want to encourage all of you, those of you who know what Kingdom Builders is, this will make sense in a minute. I'll explain a little bit further. But I want to encourage every one of you, our goal for 2021 is to give beyond our normal giving $1.6 million and get that outside the walls of our church again in 2021. And so thank you. How many of you believe in God with me that we are going to see those funds come in and touch the world? As you heard on the front end of the service, where we were just sharing with you the purpose of Kingdom Builders. And simply it's this, is three simple areas that we want to see the local, our local area, our nation, the kingdom of God expand locally. And you've given dramatically into that and served dramatically into that. And then world mission projects, of which we were going to be taking a ton of mission trips last year, but COVID limited that. And some of you were actually scheduled to go to Cambodia. And I wish we had time to give you the details. But do you realize the ministry that you just sent funds to in Cambodia have been given permission by the government to go into the schools in an entire region or province of Cambodia because of their educational capacities and raising the abilities of students. And they've given them carte blanche to come in, teaching students how to read with the scripture in Cambodia. I mean, come on, it's amazing. They have free course. This is a nation where in certain parts of the nation, it's actually illegal to preach the gospel. And the government is giving them permission to go in and lead kids to know Christ in the schools in Cambodia. And you get to be a part of that as kingdom builders. It's just remarkable. It really is. And so I want to thank every one of you. You know, when you're a kingdom builder, it's literally Jesus coming into and upon every one of our lives where he literally comes and he takes his grace and he places it on unqualified people like you and me, people that need rescued like everyone that Jesus rescues. And he said, I take my grace, I put it upon the unqualified, and I enable them to do the impossible with me. That's why I say over and over again, I am not a fundraiser. I'm a faith raiser. I want you to do what God has put in your heart to do with your life. It's never about money. Money's just an indicator. But thank you, thank you, thank you for your generosity, every one of you. Today, I want to talk to you about this simple subject, the legacy of a kingdom builder. The legacy of a kingdom builder. And it's a unique way for me to talk to you about it today. Last night, one of my dear friends in ministry, a ministry that we actually support through Kingdom Builders, Denny Patton, was here with his family. Denny is the founder, he and Amy, of something that was known as Silver Ring Thing. And it literally swept the globe in the early part of right around 2002 and 3, and it went right on until the pandemic stopped the ability for people to meet together. And Denny, through Silver Ring Thing, it received government funds. It's a whole long story. When George Bush was president, George W. Bush, and then there was a big court battle, and they became known around the world. Denny was interviewed on every imaginable news program. Every, you name it, he was on it from 60 Minutes. The BBC literally followed them and did a documentary. And all Silver Ring Thing is teaching the next generation why sexual purity before God matters. And not as a do's and a don't, but a freedom issue. And just in those years of Silver Ring thing, all just shy of 750,000 students went to their concerts. And they put on over 1,500. These are full-fledged conferences going city to city, 1,500 of them. And the most important number of all is 133,000 students gave their life to Christ during that time. That's an incredible privilege to be a part of something like that. So why are you telling me about Denny? Well, because I want to talk to you about the legacy of a kingdom builder and let you see it through the eyes of a person who has a very unique experience and perspective right now. And again, his family was here with us last evening in the service, but I want to share some things from my heart with you. Denny, for years, has had his heart and focus on the next generation. Even as a young man in his late 20s, he took a bunch of young guys that had a leadership call in their life. They rented the house and they basically did a leadership academy. And he has raised up leaders that today are serving in the body of Christ all over the world. Maybe the greatest legacy of Silver Ring thing are the leaders that were raised up that are serving the kingdom of God today. And one of those leaders is a man named Brian Tome, who pastors the third largest church in the country, in Cincinnati, Crossroads Church. He was in the house with Denny, one of those guys. And he's given his life to mentor people. He's given his life for this. And so, but Pastor John, what's that really? I mean, a lot of people are doing a lot of things. Let me tell you why I want to bring Denny to your attention. And for me, he's a very dear friend. And it's been deeply impacting to me personally as well. But about 6 years ago, Denny was diagnosed with cancer. And since that time, he's had 16 major surgeries, significant surgeries, as to deal with the cancer, from everything from chemo to radiation to taking up. I mean, it's been very difficult. But I never knew the depth of his struggle, and we're friends. And I was actually, why didn't I know Denny? I mean, because about 3-4 weeks ago, Denny called all of his friends, and this is what I want you to get. This is the perspective. This can be a reset for you today and for me. To have a perspective that you otherwise couldn't get. This is one of the most unique men I've ever met in my life. And he felt like he has just weeks to live. So he calls his friends and he said, you know, people ask Denny how you're doing. They want to know, are you living or dying? He said, but he's that blunt. And he's like, and people are like, people don't want to ask you. So I said, I'll just tell my friends so we can talk. And he's wide open about the end of his life. He said, that's unique, but it's not the most unique thing about him. When most people, when they were in this stage of life, with their body being ravaged as his has, where he's lost over 90 pounds, he's a really thin guy to begin with. But Denny never focused on the cancer. And I was thinking and praying even about it this morning. I said, Lord, I've dealt with so many people who have fought so many battles in their life valiantly, but what is it that was so unique about Denny? And here's what it was. Is that Denny never fought cancer. He fought for his purpose. He fought for the calling of his life and his family. He fought for the mission that Jesus put him on the earth. And I actually called him this morning. I said, it hit me. Every time I'd ask you about how you're doing, and I'm talking after some horrific surgeries, terrible things going on in his body, he would talk to me for about 13 or 14 seconds. Then he'd tell me the dream in his heart to reach people for Jesus. And Denny has a perspective today that all of us really should have, because how many of you know all of us someday are going to leave the earth through death? But there's something about having some type of timeline where most people, I think it's okay. It's appropriate. They kind of go like, man, I just got to fight this through. This is the time I've got to just get through the end of this. But he did just the opposite, and he's doing just the opposite. And so I just want to take you into this man's life for a moment. In the middle of, throughout 2020, when his body, of course, is being ravaged through a disease. And just so you know, we are praying with him, believing over him, and standing over his life that the power of God is surging through every cell in his body and believing for God's healing power to do what no man can do for him. And we're going to believe God. Would you be praying for him, please? Stand with him and pray over his life. But he's a very, very practical person right in the middle of this. I get a call one day from Denny and he said, John, God's put something in my heart to do. I think, okay. He said, And it came up in my heart, the family wins. The family wins. Started the whole new ministry in 2020. He said, I've been reading a devotional, John, for, I guess, over 2 decades. It's out of print, and it's meant so much to me. So in 2020, Denny put together a separate ministry, got permission to reprint the devotional. Then with his family and a handful of people around him, they developed a companion app to the devotional that's remarkable. It's a daily thing where you have different pastors around the nation reading things. You have songs and worship songs to go along with the reading. There's small groups you can do through the app. I mean, it's remarkable. And I'm not much of an app person. Actually, I'm learning, but, you know, I'm just, if you're not an apper, this is a good reason to want to be an apper. Okay, if you like, but here's the deal. My nephews called me. They live out near Cincinnati, and both of them go to Brian Tomes' church. And they said, Uncle John, the app is incredible. We love the devotional. He said, we love this. And so I want to encourage every one of you, you can just see it behind me, is that if you really desire to, and it would be, a daily devotional is huge. See, I don't always want to know what people have done. I want to know what enabled you to do it. And then he said, John, this is one of the main things in my life that's kept me every day with God. And not only is it a devotional, but it's an app that went with it. And the family wins. .org, and you can, of course, get everything you need there. But Denny was doing a podcast. And this is what I've said all that to get you to this, with Brian Tome a few weeks ago. And Brian, as I said, pastors the third largest church in the country. And he is one of the most unique guys. He's very unique like Denny. You could tell that he was mentored by him. He's kind of, what's the nice word? How do you say nicely crazy? No, he's crazy. He makes me look normal. And that's a stretch. But Brian Tome is out of the box completely. And he's winning people to Christ. And it's just a remarkable church. And it's been a great blessing to my nephews. But he's interviewing Denny on a podcast. And the podcast is called The Aggressive Life. And the interview went an hour and 45 minutes. And I would tell you, it's worth every second that you watch it. It wrecked me. Not because he's my friend. The things and the insights that he has at this stage in his life. Most people are not thinking about imparting to other people at this stage in their life, but that's just the life he's lived. And what a privilege to be his friend. What a privilege to serve on the board of Silver Ring Thing for those many years. And what a privilege as a church to support that work. Brian asked him such a benign question because he was asking Denny about the family wins and the app and, you know, the devotional. And he said, you know, Denny, you keep saying we did this, we did that. But he's basically saying, look, I know where you're at in your life right now. There's no we. So he's just asking a benign question, almost kind of in a sense wanting to ask him, man, how are you doing this? It was a very, very simple question, but the answer was so profound that I want you to actually see it. Now, the app is only audio. This was filmed and this isn't available to the public, but I want you to see his response to this very, very simple question. And then we're going to pivot in the service. And I know if you'll let God, the Holy Spirit, touch your heart today, this can be a reset for you. This can do something in your soul by the power of God that can change the way you live. Please hear me. This isn't hyperbole. The rest of your life. So take a look at this and then we'll jump right into it.
No, you say we did we. There's not a lot of we and we. It's not like you have some big organization with staff members. You just put, we is who? You and your wife? Yes, that's the answer to that.
I mean, well, no, really. For a lot of my life, I felt very prideful. I felt like I was a very prideful person. And I said a lot. I don't know if I can even say it anymore. It hurts. It hurts to say I. Even if it's just me and God, it's we. Because he's asked me to help him. He's the I. I get to be the we. It's not I and God gets a check mark and a credit call. It's we.
Isn't that remarkable? It's we, it's we, it's we. That's remarkable, man. Man. Mm. Every one of us have to look, and we get the privilege when somebody takes us into their life at this stage. And what he's learned and what he sees. So often you have to wait to see that. Some never see it. He's lived his life this way his whole life, but at the end he's saying, and what he perceives to be the end, he's saying, I can't use the word I anymore. Because it's we, it's God's thing. I get to be, not I have to be, I get to be a part of it. Being a kingdom builder is not a have to, it is a get to. It will be the privilege of your life. What I'm about to share with you, you will never regret if you live this kind of life. Not one moment of your life will you ever regret one moment of this kind of life. Not in this life, and certainly not in the life to come. Denny and I were sitting down the week before. And he was sharing with me out of the Gospels in Matthew 9, this final, what he believes, message from his heart to people. And I want to give you parts of what he said and some things that I believe God's put in my heart to share with you as well. Matthew chapter 9, I want you to see the we. I want you to see the perspective of God and the privilege that you have. The privilege you have. Newcastle, the privilege you have. Those of you that are watching online, this is a privilege to live your life in a way that you labor with God, not for God. Like he said, not to go give God credit or a curtain call, but this is the privilege of your life. In Matthew 9:35, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing their bruised and hurt lives and every disease and sickness among the people. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, and his heart broke because they were weary and dejected, harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus said, the harvest is so, so great, and the workers are so few. So pray, in verse 38, this is a prayer Jesus said to pray. So pray to the one in charge of the harvesting and ask him to recruit more workers and force and thrust them out into his harvest. A kingdom builder is someone thrust out into the harvest field. Jesus said the harvest, those that are far from God, those who don't know Christ, those that will spend eternity away from God because they haven't received the salvation given by a Savior. He said there's not a harvest problem. There's a laborer's problem. The harvest is white. It's ripe, the harvest. He said, but the laborers are few. So pray, not that God will do something to the harvest, but that God will raise up harvesters. A kingdom builder is an answer to the prayer of Jesus. You will never live more purposefully than literally answering the prayer of the Son of God upon the earth as a kingdom builder, whether it be with your time, your talent, your money. And so in this brief time I have with you, I'm praying the Holy Spirit will do something on the inside of you like he has with me. And it's just a reset in my soul that I want to, if there is any eye in me, Lord, please help me to lose it. Help me to see the privilege that we labor together with God. I want to just briefly talk to you about three qualities that a kingdom builder has. If you're going to be a harvester, if you're going to be a kingdom builder, these are three qualities that are must that you'll find out of Matthew 9. Here's the first one. We have to see what God sees. We have to see what God sees. The Bible said that Jesus saw the crowds and something happened to him. He saw them as weary, it said, dejected, harassed, and helpless as sheep without a shepherd. Jesus could see in realms that I can't see. He wasn't just talking about their physicality and the difficulties of their physical life. He was looking into a spiritual realm. And he could see that those that are far from God, those that ultimately would cry out, crucify him. Those who would hate him to the extent that they would call for his murder. He saw into a spiritual realm. Because every human being that's outside of Christ, that's not been redeemed by him, that's not been rescued by him, is trapped in darkness. Utterly trapped. And we have to ask a simple question. What do we see when we see people far from God? Do we see them as the Bible calls people the precious fruit of the earth? Or do we see them as an enemy that opposes how I think and how I believe? A different, quote, if you would, political perspective. Jesus saw the crowds. His heart broke for them. So I ask the question, does mine break for those far from God? These are the questions that every harvest, if you'll answer them now, you can live a totally different life. You can live your life with such purpose and intentionality and such peace that the most broken, desperate person, the person that may oppose everything that you believe to be right with God, that like Jesus, you won't see their offense. You'll see the fact that they truly are weary and dejected. And then he said this, that they're harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Now, if you're a pastor, you study sheep a little bit because you're a shepherd. Here's what I know about sheep. Never have owned any, never raised any, have eaten some. Thank you, Jesus. Pastor John, I thought you didn't love animals. I don't, unless they're cooked properly. You say, oh, I'm an animal lover. I hate the, why could you say that? I'm going to send you an email. I'm quoting Steve Moore. Send it to him. Newcastle, John Owens, Pastor John, he believes this way. You send it to him. Just quoting them. Sheep are helpless. If they don't have a shepherd, they won't eat. They'll eat wherever they're at, and then they die. They won't be able to find food. They won't be able to find water. They have to be led beside still waters, green pastures. And they don't know how to protect themselves. They literally are helpless. They will be picked off by every wolf until there's none left, unless they have a shepherd. And Jesus said, the people that are far from God are like sheep without a shepherd. They're harassed and they're helpless. And he said, that's how I see them. And we have to see them how he sees them. If I could plead with every Christian to do something so simple, maybe it's people may be unwilling to do it. I would plead with you, please get off Facebook and get your face in the book. Please, please. I'm begging you to do it. People do not need my opinions and your opinions. They need a savior. We are called to go into the harvest field to truly sacrificially love every person far from God. Every person on earth, please hear my heart today. Every person on planet earth today, in a few short years, will slip into an eternity with or without Christ, with or without a redeemer. And there's a heaven and there is a hell on the other side of this life. And when we leave this world, we either will pay for our own sins eternally or receive the free payment of a Savior. Oh, the price that was paid, and then the commission given to us. Jesus said, pray that the Father will thrust you out into that harvest field and bringing the message of a Redeemer. The second thing is simply this. You have to then feel what God feels. You have to feel what God feels if you're going to be a harvester and a kingdom builder. Jesus was moved with compassion. His heart broke. When you see the world around us in such decline, Jesus said in the last days that sin and lawlessness will abound, meaning it'll multiply. He said, but when my people see it, the hearts of many of my people, their hearts will go cold toward me and toward people because they'll get their eyes on the sin and lawlessness rather than the fact that they must get their eyes on those that are trapped in it. They're not my enemy. They're my mission field. Somehow it's so easy for this to happen to us. We get saved of no virtue of our own. We come to know God because the Savior rescued me. And somehow when we come out of that darkness, this is where pride is so deadly. We look back at that darkness like somehow we got ourselves out. Like somehow my righteous opinions become my righteousness. And I want to change your opinion instead of rescue you from a kingdom. It's so easy to happen. I'm not being critical. I live in the same world you do. So easy. It's so easy to happen. But as a kingdom builder, I have to feel what he feels. I have to value people the way he valued them. They became the focus of his life. Do you know the Bible said that Jesus is touched with the feelings of your weakness, your infirmities, and your difficulties? The Son of God, he feels what I feel. And I want to plead with you to gain the perspective that my friend Denny was able to give us with the opening up of his life. I really would encourage you to listen to that podcast. I also interviewed him on my podcast titled The John Nuzzo Leadership Podcast. That's our team named it, so it could be easy for me to find, I guess. So I just interviewed Denny on there as well. Learn from somebody who has something in their soul that perhaps you may never be able to get unless you're in that place. If you want the kind of life that people have, if you truly want their life, don't look for what they've achieved. Don't look for what they've done. Look for what has enabled them to do it. And my prayer for every one of us, every last one of us, that God, the Holy Spirit, will reach into my life, into your life today, and do a rescue to me. It's so easy to come out of that darkness. For example, you know, it's like being in an ocean and you're drowning. And there's no way to save yourself. And finally, somebody comes by and grabs you by the back of the collar and pulls you up into a boat at the last second and saves your life. What we do very often as Christians, that's what it means to come to know God. You're rescued by a Savior. And when we look back at those trapped in the same water that we just came out of, it's like the equivalency of being pulled into the boat and thinking, I must be an Olympic swimmer. I'm not. The only good in me is him. The only difference between me and those who you may be even, you may be angry at their disposition or their beliefs. But the only difference between those that may be in that place in me is Jesus. That's it. And a kingdom builder grasps that deeply in their soul and in their heart. Can we feel and hear what Jesus hears? Do we hear the desperation of people that are harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd? Do we hear the weariness in their life? Because that's what God hears. There's a desperation that comes in the soul of someone who loves deeply. That's true for any parent. When our kids were little, and I think our daughter Alexa was at that point about 7, we were going to a wedding and we had to go to Las Vegas for this wedding. It was a young person that came to know the Lord at the church, and long story. So we all went to Las Vegas and got rooms at the MGM Grand for almost free. It was awesome. Now, it also was the middle of July. It was so hot that demons wouldn't go there, but it was pretty cheap. But it really is absurdly grand, okay? And you go out and where the pool is, and they have a lazy river. And I don't mean like, you know, I mean, it's a river. Thing just goes and goes. It's pretty remarkable. So, you know, we're there with our kids, and it's, you know, you went outside. It kind of felt like you walked into a furnace, but it was special. I mean, it's hot. So we're at the lazy river, and Alexa gets lost. Now, we go look for her. Now, anybody ever lost a kid? It's terrifying, isn't it? But just so you know, Mary and Joseph, they lost Jesus one time. We're in good company. They left Jerusalem. He stayed behind, right? A day and a half go by. Shoot, man, she was only gone from us, I don't know, maybe 5 minutes at the most, where, you know, when you're like aware. And day and a half. Mary's like, where's Jesus? Joseph said, yeah, I'm sure he's around. She said, find a boy. He's only 12. Joseph comes back, says, babe, don't know how to tell you this. We lost Jesus. We lost the Son of God, baby. Can you imagine the terror? Joseph, what do you mean we lost Jesus? We were given one sneaking job and we lost Jesus. They were the first people to ever find Jesus. Okay, I'm sorry. I know that's bad. I know. I'm sorry. That's just bad. I'm talking to you about having the desperation that's in the heart of God for people that are far from God, a desperation that drove him to a cross to bear the debt and the sin penalty that I couldn't pay. Because I was bound to an eternity without him, and there's no way out. And I realize she's gone, she's lost. And I realize I'm in Las Vegas. And I'm thinking, this isn't good. Because if someone takes her, only by the grace of God will we ever be. You know the terror that hits your heart. So I look immediately, and it kind of narrows to a couple openings. So I go to that one opening, and there's a security guy. And I just go up to him. First, I was relatively calm, and I said, hey, listen, our daughter is lost. I need you to do whatever you all do when somebody's lost. And he went, okay. Have you looked in the river? And I'm like, yeah, we looked. We're parents. She's lost. Okay. Now, this is what I did. Honestly, I said, listen to me! She's lost! Get that stinking thing out of your pocket and talk in it! I said, and he had the walkie-talkie, you know. I said, get it in your hand! Shut it down! Because he thought I was going to kill him. Now listen, I was about to drop him like a bad habit. Beat him like a rented mule and take that thing in my own hand. Shut it down. Whatever. What's the number you use, boy? What's that code? Say the code. Hey, shut it down. I was desperate. He didn't feel my desperation. I think that's how God feels about us. Shut it down. They're lost. They're without me, and I died for them. I'm kind of busy right now. I've got really important things in my life. Life can trap all of us, can't it? And he shut it down. We did find her. And he said, well, did you apologize? No. Shouldn't you have apologized? I guess, how many years has that been? I'm not quite there yet. You want to know why? My daughter was lost and he didn't care. I'm not exaggerating. When I tell you I never came so close to punching a stranger as hard as I can in the face and dropping him on the ground and just beating him until he stopped and shut that thing down. Why would you do that? Because I was desperate. There's no sacrifice too great when you love like Jesus loves. That's why he died. And we have to feel what he feels. We have to hear the anguish and the loss because that's what he hears. That's what I loved about my life knowing Denny. I love our time together. He was raised in the home of two atheists. And the reason I know that is he said it to me 100 times. Not because he knows that I may have forgotten or thinks I've forgotten. It's just so deep in his soul of what God rescued him from. He'll just say it out of his heart over and over. John, I was just raised in the home of atheists. How God found me. I'm so grateful. And he's lived his life as a kingdom builder, as a harvester. Now, you may not be called to do what Denny's done with his life, but every one of us, every one of us, every one of us, every one of us who have been taken out of that sea are called to go back into it and rescue people. And I want to thank every one of you in this church for living beyond your own needs, your own wants, even being sacrificial, not just with your finances, but with your time and your heart and your prayers for serving people that you'll never meet until you get to heaven. I know our goal is $1.6 million, and I'm not going to talk a lot about the goal because if we're kingdom builders, we'll eclipse the goal. Because God's faithful, and I know he wants to rescue people through you and through me. And then lastly this, we have to do what God did for us. So very simply, if you're going to be a kingdom builder, if you're going to be a harvester, 3 simple qualities, see what God sees, feel what God feels, and then do what God has done for us. And what did he do? He laid his life down for us. He died for us. He brought redemption and healing and restoration and freedom to a world that had no, listen, there is no other way back to God. That's why Jesus said some of the most narrow and politically incorrect statements ever uttered when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one, listen to these words, no one comes to my Father except through me. Yeah, but what about really good people? No one. What about people that have gone to church? No one. What about people that have, you know, sacraments of the church? No one gets to the Father except through me. Why? Because he's the only one who could pay the debt that you couldn't pay. That's why God sent him. He came himself, wrapped in literally born of a virgin, never tasted sin. And when he hung on that cross, never having tasted sin, the wrath of God that was due me, the punishment, because God is not just about righteousness, he's about justice. And he can't walk away from that, but he wanted the relationship. So he said, I must judge you guilty, but I will come and I will pour the penalty on myself. And no one, listen to me, please. No one, no world religion, no leader of any movement can pay you, because they're in the same mess you're in. And so when you give your life to Christ, he rescues you. He laid his life down for us. And then he said for us that we need to lay down our lives as well and to go out into the fields and reap a harvest. This statement is so amazing when you think about it, that we get to labor together with God in his harvest field, and be an answer to the prayer of Jesus. Let me read you out of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 7. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth and he said this. This means, and he's talking about bringing the gospel to people. This means the one who plants is not anybody special, nor is the one who waters. For God is the one who brings the supernatural growth or the increase. Now the one who plants and the one who waters, listen, are equally important and on the same team. But each one will be rewarded, say out loud, rewarded. Rewarded for his own work. Now listen to verse 9. We are co-workers with God. You are God's cultivated garden, the house he is building. We get to labor, not for God. I don't know how to exaggerate this. Doing what you do for God is not something you do to pay him back. You can't pay for this. You can never pay back what he did for you. It is a debt beyond repayment. It's not like he gives you a job, you do the job, come back and say, Dad, are you happy? He said, no, 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 this is my work. And I'm so intimate with you as my children. You're going to labor together, not for me, but with me. And you'll be rewarded this life and the life to come for your obedience. But he said, I want you to go into the world. One of the last things Jesus said is you go into the whole world, and that's the harvest field, and preach the gospel, the good news to every creature. Because he that believes and baptized will be saved. But he that believes not, listen, will be damned. God's desperate. Alexa's missing. And he's asking us, do you have my heart for them? Are you trapped in thinking that's pulled you away from your purpose? It's so easy to happen, isn't it, in life? Am I the only one? Isn't it the easiest thing in the world to have happen to you? I mean, life gets busy. We have problems. We have issues. I don't know how to exaggerate to you the importance of staying singularly focused in these matters with God. You get the privilege. It's not a have to. It's a get to. This isn't partnering with Bill Gates or some billionaire or Elon Musk. This is partnering with the God of all creation. Intimately, that's how desperate he is. And he wants to use you. It's not a have to. It's a get to. And as I close, and this is very quick, because I want you to see that a disciple of Jesus is a harvester, and it requires something. Discipleship means a follower of. And to follow Jesus in your everyday life, to live a life that is not the standard life, it requires three simple things. Number one is total surrender. Only in total surrender will you grow spiritually and have ultimate growth. Surrender is an everyday decision in my life, in your life. Jesus said we are to deny ourselves, take up our cross daily, and follow him. Only by following Jesus is taking up a cross your way to life. Denying yourself is actually blessing yourself. Jesus said it this way. Seek first the kingdom of God and my righteousness. And all these things that people are seeking, I'll add those to you. Amazing. He said the way to life is that you have to say no to the things that are screaming for your attention. He said, put me first. Put the harvest first. Secondly, a disciple that's a harvester has to have a continual death in their life. And it's amazing that this continual death is what will bring you a new freedom. They're so contradictory, but that's how the kingdom works. Paul said, I die daily. It's a continual death. In Galatians 2:20, I love this scripture. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. It means you're dead. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Now listen to these words. And the life I now live in this body, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. My prayer for every one of us today is that we have this privilege of a reset right now. If this world has ever needed a reset in God's people, it's now. The harvest is rotting. It's plenteous. And the laborers are few, and many of them are being sidelined. I pray that doesn't happen to any of us. And then lastly, this. If you're going to be a disciple and follower of Jesus and a harvester, it requires that you have a public faith. It requires a public faith. A public faith, I promise you, will bring personal persecution. If you're going to walk with God, you will be persecuted by those who don't. The scripture actually said, all that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution in this life. But let me ask you a very honest question that I think we all have to answer, all of us. This isn't pointing a finger. I wonder today if God's people are willing to be as vocal about their faith and the redemption of a Savior. If they're willing to even be persecuted at the level that they have been and are for their political beliefs. I wonder if I stood before God today, would I look at him and say, that meant more to me than how did that happen to me? See, spiritual growth is having the awareness and the revelation and the understanding so that you can walk in this freedom. Doesn't mean that you're not praying that things, you know, become right on the earth. That's our job to do. But I ask the question, as I look at the scope and the landscape of God's people, and I say, God, are we willing to pay the same price? Do we have the same passion for the kingdom and those without you as we do our political beliefs? Are we willing to take the same hits for our walk with you? And if the answer is no, it's not a criticism, but it is a barometer. It is a thermometer that takes your temperature and it tells you that you're sick in your soul. It tells you that your heart is growing cold toward God because of the sin and lawlessness that you see. And your heart ultimately will even grow cold toward people who God calls the precious fruit of the earth. And then lastly, this, a secret faith is a powerless faith. A secret faith is a powerless faith. And you are called to be a kingdom builder. Not some kind of religious zealot, but to live your everyday life, realizing everybody you meet is soon to step into an eternity with or without a Savior. If Jesus were here today, he would look at you, he would look at me. He said, I'm praying that the Lord of his harvest, the God of the harvest, will thrust you out into the sphere of influence that I put you in your life. I don't know how to do this. It's not your job to win anybody. It's your job to tell them and let God work in people's hearts. Just like he did in yours. Just like he did in mine. I want to just in a moment, we're going to worship together. And in this time of worship, I want you to sing this song of surrender. And let God, the Holy Spirit, just literally move deep into your heart today. And like my precious friend Denny, let's see an insight that he's captured, that he was so willing. Who spends this season of their life multiplying the kingdom of God and serving people? Who cares at this point in their life to tell everybody, let me show you what I've seen so you can do more for God? One of the last things Denny said to me when we were meeting, he said, John, I've searched the Bible because I'm wondering, is there a way for me to personally influence people from heaven? I want to do more. I wonder how I could do more. And he, you know, of course, read the Bible. He knows the Bible. He said, story of Lazarus and the rich man, you don't get to know. This is my only shot. But there is the legacy of a kingdom builder. That everyone you reach for Christ can reach others for Christ. And even though when I go to be with the Lord, the multiplication keeps going. And God actually said in his word that all of those people will be fruit that will abound to your account eternally for your rewards. It's the greatest way you'll ever know to live. You will never regret one second of living with the passion of a legacy kingdom builder. The passion, the absolute passion of seeing what God sees, feeling what God feels, doing what God did for us, and then following Jesus with a total surrender, a continual death, and a public faith. Let's go reach our world today. Let's go be the hands and feet of Jesus. He'll use you. His power will be upon you. Would you stand together with me, Newcastle? Worship God over there. Come on, man. Worship God. We're going to worship Him now. Let's surrender our hearts to Him. Worship Him. Worship Him.
All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily. I surrender all. Oh, I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all.
Sing that one more time as a prayer. Father, I thank You for every person here that knows You. Those here, those online. I pray for all of us that we just don't get captured in a world far from You. Captured in a world that can so easily distract us from our heavenly purpose. Captured in a world that promises life but delivers death. That we might be captured with the heart of the Savior. That when we see what He sees, and when we feel what He feels, and we do what He does, and we follow Him and surrender fully, dying to what we think is best and living openly with a public declaration that He is the Savior of my life. That we truly experience from You life and peace, provision and help that we could never have any other way. Lord, free our minds from the deception and the lie. There's something in this earth that can better my life apart from You. What a lie. We make You first. It's who You are. Thank You for rescuing us from that sea of iniquity. Thank You for rescuing us from a stain of sin that none of us could erase. Thank You for Your mercy. Thank You for Your kindness. Burn deeply into our soul a passion that You have that drove You to a cross. Help us to run as hard and as fast as we can back into the harvest field from which we came. We thank You for a great awakening in our nation. Another great awakening where not a trickle here and a trickle there, a simple harvest stick, but a combine harvester. We're not streams, but rivers, tsunami-like rivers pour out of those that are far from heaven in every imaginable sphere of life, rescued by a Savior, passing from death into life, delivered from the kingdom of darkness, brought into the kingdom of the dear Son of His love. That is the privilege of our life. I pray that over every one of us. Holy Spirit, as we sing this one more time, do the work in the souls of men and women that only You can do. You are the teacher. You are God, the Holy Spirit. Bring great grace and power as we submit our hearts to You and find more grace. Sing this one more time as an act of surrender, as a statement of faith.
Praise Jesus.
Watering others, we actually water ourselves. Thank you for your mighty hand upon your people. Thank you, Father, for the privilege of laboring together with our God. In Jesus' name. We live in a time today and an hour when, at this point, I usually would say every head bowed and every eye closed, but we're no longer in a heads bowed, eyes closed world. Everything's open. The enemy is wiping people out, and Christians right along with it. If you've never given your life to Christ, I'm not asking you if you're a good person. I trust you are, and that's wonderful if you are. But if you've never given your life to the one who gave his life for you, I want to give you the opportunity to make an open declaration that I am lost in my own sin and I cannot rescue myself. But I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, born of a virgin, and died on a cross, and that the wrath of God that was due me was poured out on him. He suffered and he died and he was buried for 3 days in my place. That's why the scripture said I am crucified with Christ, that I died with him. I've been buried with him. But the privilege also is that you can be raised with him. And you've never given your life to Christ, or maybe you're not sure. Yeah, but I go to church, Pastor John, you know, so I'm a Christian. No, it's great to go to church, but that doesn't make you a Christian. God didn't send church services. He sent his son. But I was baptized a baby. I'm a Christian. No, you were a wet baby. It can be sacred for your family. It doesn't make you a Christian. If water makes you a Christian, a good rainstorm would save the world. Coming to a Savior willfully. And here's the option: to receive or reject him. It is an either or. There's no middle ground. Right now, if you've never done that, you're not sure, and you think, I want to know that I've received the free gift of eternal life. I want to give my life to Christ and follow him with all my heart. Right now, the Bible, Jesus said that God, the Holy Spirit, right now would move upon your heart to draw you to the Father through him. That tug on your heart is not my words. It's God himself saying, come to me. I love you and I died for you. So as we stand here today, those included online, if you've never given your life to Christ, or you're not sure, and you say, I want to give my life to Jesus today. I want to receive him as the Lord of my life. In a moment, I'll ask you to raise your hand. Then we're going to pray a prayer out loud and together with you right where you're standing. Jesus said, if you acknowledge me before men, I'll acknowledge you before my God. So as we stand in his presence today, if you've never given your life to Christ, or you're not sure, and say, Pastor, include me in that prayer. Would you right now just lift your hand so I could pray for you? Come on, do it right now. Come on, do it right now. Give them a hand as they raise their hand. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for stepping into the kingdom of God. Best decision of your life. If you raised your hand, or you should have, pray this out loud where you hear it. Jesus will come into your heart. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. We'll pray together with you. This is the best, most important decision you will ever make in your life on this earth. Pray it out loud where you hear it, and we'll pray it with you. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. And I believe with all my heart that Jesus died for my sins. He was buried and he rose from the dead. And he did this for me. He paid my debt. So I open the door of my heart and life. And Jesus, I receive you now to be the Savior and Lord of my life. I turn from my ways and I turn toward you to walk with you and to know you intimately. Thank you for coming into my life. My sin debt is canceled. And when I die, I am heaven bound. Because Jesus is the Lord of my life. Amen, amen, amen. Give them a hand, would you? God bless you. Amen. Great decision, man. Great. You can be seated.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from Victory Family Church. If you enjoyed listening, please take a moment to rate, review, and share. For more resources, including locations and service times, please visit lifeatvictory.com.